You're listening to the Oddcast Podcast UK on the Pod Gods Network. The Oddcast Podcast, the podcast nobody is listening to. Except you.
Podcast episode 43.
Happy birthday to you.
Is it the birthday one yet, or is that another
next week?
Next
okay.
week.
Premature.
Story of my life.
The Oddcast Podcast. I am your host, Adam, and with me, as always, is
Dickhead
and
Ash
and Will.
Yes. There's four of us, but one of us is going to be very quiet.
It's a mute.
No Marcus this week.
No.
No Rita Mandani.
Nope.
No copious amounts of beer.
Yeah, so no blatant swearing in front of small children in America.
No Brian. Yeah, from Garage Cast. I better say Brian from Brian Cast.
And hopefully a little bit more discipline. We have been recording for quite a few hours and thus drinking on the last one. And,
quite heavily.
It was one of our shabbier ones, really, wasn't it?
I wasn't very impressed with the last episode.
No,
so I haven't listened to it because I've heard it.
We kind of lacked. We did lack the normal tight military discipline that we're so renowned for.
Yeah, because we are so prepared.
Yeah,
we are so. Yeah,
fuck yeah.
I've got boats and everything.
I saw the. You should have seen the recycling that went out the next day. Well, it was sacks. We filled an entire bin bag with empties, didn't we?
Yes, well, we had to stop halfway through with the recording to go to the shop to buy another whole bootload of beer.
Well, yeah, I picked up 24 cans and they all went.
I picked up another, 12 or something.
Yeah. It's a lot of beer.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Plus the beer you had here, and Marcus was down in rum and...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It was messy.
It was a messy day.
Yes.
I don't really remember going home, to be honest. But do you know what's amazing? I edited both those podcasts drunk.
Yeah, it probably shows.
So, yeah, it probably does show. It was probably like 20 minutes of just like dead air.
Loads of stuff that really should have come out if your judgment wasn't impaired.
Yeah.
It would have been a 10-minute podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we can be our harshest critics because we are... The fucking show, so we can say how bad it is.
Yeah, we're allowed to. And if our listeners have any criticism, you can shove it up your fucking arses.
What was the angry one of the podcasters? Who fucking tell me it's a shit podcast? I'll tell you it's a shit podcast.
Yeah. And you'd better argue. Yeah.
You tell me it's great, and I'll tell you it's shit. That's not how it should work. We're supposed to pretend how great we are to people.
Yeah.
Really?
I blame Marcus.
Yeah, it was all his fault. Yeah.
I like the way I pointed to no one. But the point is to no one there. Hey, Marcus, he's not here. But he's probably listening right now.
I want to do the podcast again.
He's not allowed.
He is.
No, he's
but
not.
We're not recording three straight off back to back.
And we're not recording with rum. He was still drunk when he turned up.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. So have you had a good week?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Has it been sober?
No.
No?
No. No, we've... there was a wedding last weekend, and there was my brother's birthday and head wedding drinks last night, and quite frankly, no, not particularly sober.
No, it's a drunken. You, Ash, you cut your finger.
I've had an interesting week. Yeah, I chopped the top of my thumb off on Monday, and I've been in and out of hospital with trying to get it to stop bleeding.
Well, if you're going to spend several hundred quid on a knife set, you should expect them to be fucking sharp.
And that actually turned out to be very, very good for me. because it was so sharp, it went straight through and took it straight off. It was nice and clean, supposedly. And because I was chopping onions, it was a semi-antiseptic.
Came so with a katana.
It wasn't quite as big as a katana, but it could have been. And yeah, I was quite lucky, really. But it's still bandaged.
Not as lucky if you hadn't cut your finger.
No, that would have been the best bet.
That would be more lucky.
But it was the fact that I was, when I was doing it, my thumb was sticking out slightly, and I thought, "Oh, I could chop that off." So I tucked it. I tucked it in, and then got distracted, and it must have popped back out again. And I did chop it off.
Oh, I could cut that off. Let's have a go.
Okay, so yeah, the Oddcast podcast, movie centric podcast. We talk about movies, shit, beers. And random other
thumb injuries.
My hair, pod goddy stuff.
Indeed.
So, should we jump straight into the podcast?
Let's do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Where did you get those clothes? At the toilet store?
A stab in the face with a soldering iron.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Just a bad reception, honey.
I'm gonna spank my hairy ass.
What's that?
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
I got a fever! And the only prescription is more cowbell!
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh. Hear it now.
Go back to then!
When?
Now!
Now?
No!
I can't!
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
It's not a tumor.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
So here we are. To save the day.
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, it was Mighty Mouse.
Here I come to save the day.
That's it, yeah. Because obviously I wasn't singing the actual thing, I was singing to the theme.
Yes. I think it both took us just a moment to... Why is he singing this to Mighty Mouse?
Yeah.
why were you singing it to Mighty Mouse?
I don't know.
Although there was the line in Stand By Me, wasn't there? Which was, who'd win in a fight, Mighty Mouse or Superman? Duh, Superman. He's real, Mighty Mouse isn't.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Mighty
I wish I had a video of Mighty Mouse.
It was crap.
I'm now thinking of Danger Mouse, so I was going to call him Penfold. That's completely the wrong cartoon.
Old school, yeah, Danger Mouse, David Jason.
Yeah.
So, Will, you're drinking what, Polish lager?
Tiski.
What?
Tiski.
Is that what they call lager in Poland?
It's the brand.
Oh.
I got it in the Polish shop.
It's a good place to get Polish beard, isn't it?
It was brilliant though, because I look a bit Polish, if I'm honest.
Well, you are Polish.
Well, I'm of course Polish. My granddad was Polish, but I've got the Polish hairline, and sort of the general
hairline. That's German.
What?
I don't know, there's a German joke in there somewhere.
Oh, hairline.
Yeah,
but I thought you said that's Jeremy, which made no sense.
I didn't say Jeremy, did I?
He just kind of mumbled a bit.
I thought he said German, but I wasn't sure where
hairline.
He did or not.
Yeah, cheers for sticking up for me, Ash. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you want to...
I didn't get what you were talking about.
You'd say, hairline, that was my old German teacher, or something like that. But,
yeah.
Anyway, it was brilliant. I went in there and...
It's a work in progress.
I went in there and I put my cans of beer on the counter and the bloke said something in Polish and I went, oh, just these please, mate. And it was weird because he started off then talking to me in a bit of a Polish accent, but by the end of the conversation, he actually said to... Was his accent just became more and more English, and all of a sudden, at the end of the conversation, we're like, Quincetti says, thank you very much for your custom, sir. I said, it was a pleasure. Thank you for your time, dear boy. It was like, he's gone from the random Polish bloke to, like, sort of Oxbridge public schoolboy style. Brilliant.
He learned English in 2 minutes and serving you.
Damn hard clever workers, those Polish.
Yeah. That's you. You're teaching people.
No. I'm not a hard worker. I'm three quarters English when it comes to that.
Polish
lady. No. No, they're normal.
Coming over here, taking all of our jobs, working 10 hours for 8 hours money and not taking a tea break every 5 minutes.
How dare they?
You make us look bad.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. So, you seen any good movies recently? Have any of you seen Avengers yet?
No, not yet.
I haven't either.
Is it out now?
Yeah, it's been out for fucking 2 weeks.
Oh. Well, I still
haven't seen it.
I don't go to the cinema.
By the time this airs, I might have seen it.
So, oh, that'd be good.
But that's going to make no difference to now.
No.
Because we're in now.
Oh, fucking stop.
We don't want to talk about something that might happen in the future. Because then... I've been lying.
Shut up.
Every listener's saying right now. But they have the ability to turn it off. You're
on turn it off.
We can try and walk through the wall.
You can cut your thumb off.
I've done that.
You did it to try and get out of the podcast. You're like, I'm going to cut the thumb off. I'm going to get out of this podcast. And then you realise that, what's it going to do? It
didn't work. I've got to do something a bit more extreme.
Yeah,
but no, I've not seen the Avengers. I think I will probably try and see that fairly soon, but I'll just try and get it the Blu-ray as soon as it's out, start I think, because I just can't be arsed with the cinema,
because they're normally quite quick to DVD.
Yeah, it's like 3 months or something.
Yeah,
so. I've got to go see it. Cool. I'll be excited.
They're already talking about the Avengers 2. Yeah, the lineup for that. So
I haven't seen the first one.
Yeah,
I'm still excited for it. Are they making the second one
away?
Oh, they're sorting out the casting, I think.
Well, they've got to make also Thor 2. That didn't make sense the way I said it.
Fantastic Thor 2.
Thor 2.
Right, so I thought you said 4 2.
Yeah, 4 2 as well.
Captain America 2.
Thor 2.
Iron Man 3. To make another Iron Man.
And
they're going to make a Black Widow film, which is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. It's a different set, but there's the new Batman one on its way. Adam, would you like to pop next door and change your pants now?
I can't wait. How excited I am for the Avengers, which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, multiply that by 10.
Billion. I mean, I would do anything to go and see Batman. But if someone said, go and kill somebody, you can watch Batman right now.
Would it depend on who it was that you had to kill, or?
You know? I might have a few ground rules. I've got a few moles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't want to leave myself open to anything. But, you know, I'm so excited for stuff. I'm such a geek when it comes to stuff like that.
Dice.
I don't usually get excited about movies that much.
Really?
I just don't.
Compared to like who?
Compared to like raping and pillaging.
Yeah. Movies about raping and pillaging.
Best of everything.
Oh, that's Eric the Viking.
I can't wait for Irreversible 2. You've seen Irreversible? You saw the trailer in episode 21 when you got very drunk and you watched it. Oh, there's a little bit of raping.
Yeah.
It's a French film that goes.
Yeah, I don't really remember it.
You don't, do you? Still haven't listened back to it?
No, I did try and couldn't. Just like I tried listening to the last episode and struggled a bit.
I do apologise to anybody. That was the first episode to listen to. Mm. But there was a nice episode out there. I did an interview with Rebecca Ferdinando about her new film, Outside Bet.
It's that fucking fox!
Wait! Hey. It's a bit.
There's a fox out there.
Get out of my garden, you cunt.
We hate foxes around here.
You carry on.
It's a very mangy fox. It doesn't have a bushy tail.
Yep, it's the mangy bastard. It might.
Have you got a crossbow?
No.
It's coming back.
Excellent. Is it coming back?
Yeah, it's just hiding behind the barbecue.
Okay. Let's pause this in whilst Will goes and kills a fox.
So, Will, you've taken off your little red coat and put the hounds away.
Yeah. Proper British there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Who had a little trumpet?
Tally ho! No. To be honest, if I had something powerful that would take it out quickly, I'd kill that bastard. But frankly, seeing as I've only got a little 2.2 air pistol that would just give it an angry, festering, long-term wound, there's not a lot I could do because I'm not going to shoot it with a pistol.
You want to kill it quickly?
Oh, I would kill it. It's vermin, as far as I'm concerned. It kills my chickens. But I wouldn't put out poison.
Get chickens, mate.
Get your katana out, mate.
Yeah.
Like fucking Game of Thrones. That's not how you use a katana. You make it right. I was trying to think what noise makes. What noise would it make when you're going to slice someone's head off? That's the noise I was trying to make.
I think that's what the fox would do.
Oh, watching Game of Thrones, I watched episode 6 when Alfie Allen, I can't remember his bloody name,
is it,
he's just gone back to Winterfell to take over, and he killed
the one who plays Robb Stark.
The names all go over my head.
One of the Stark children.
Yeah,
one
of the boys. Yeah, he was the one that was adopted.
Oh, that's Jon Snow, and he's on the wall. No, Jon Snow is the half son of Ned Stark, but he's not Caitlin's son. But then you've got Robb Stark, Brandon Stark, who's the one with the broken back. You've then got the youngest, who is Rickon. So you're only left with Robb.
Oh, okay, well, it could be wrong, but that guy, he went and chopped someone's head off, but he'd done it about four times because it wouldn't chop.
Yeah.
That's why when I was going, I was just imagining when he was trying to hack his head off.
Yeah, you meant to use the sharp bit, not the flat bit.
Yeah. I was using the fucking handle.
It's when he dies. Holding on to the sharp bit.
Not wanting to give anyone a spoiler, but they should read the fucking books. It's when he dies in season three it gets interesting.
Oh, well, he might.
They sew the dire wolf's head onto his corpse.
I actually said to some guy at work, said to David, he said, I had a feeling they were going to kill off the dwarf.
Tyrion? No, he's still going in. He's still going in.
There was a scene.
I can't kill the dwarf.
There was a scene at the end of the episode.
Has he had his nose cut off yet?
No.
Okay.
To spite his face.
But he did it himself.
He does joke about that.
There was a scene where it looked like this girl was going to go and kill him, but it didn't in the end, just the way the episode ended. And he said, it was really good. And I thought, actually, I would know whether the dwarf was going to die, because Will would have mentioned it. Because he doesn't give a lot of spoilers away, but you wouldn't say that dwarf's amazing, and then he dies.
Well, the thing is, it was the whole Sean Bean when I knew he'd been cast, and then saw he'd been cast as Ned Stark. I thought, it'll bring people in for the first season, and then it'll be fine, and that's exactly worked.
Are you in season two yet?
No, not yet. I've only watched season one, so
I won't be able to see it until the DVD comes out. But seeing as I know the story anyway, I'm all right.
You're not too fussed about it, whereas I no idea what the story is.
I'm not going to start watching series two until I can watch it in pretty much one go.
Because you don't want to wait another week for the next installment.
Yeah, I want to sit there and just go bang, bang, bang and watch them all. Brilliant.
Okay, so Game of Thrones.
Watch yes.
Should we do some movie bluffing?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so here is today's movie bluff.
Dear Mom, I've been under a lot of stress at work. And I come into a windfall of cash. So I decided to take that Mexican vacation I've been planning. Now, despite what people say, I had no trouble whatsoever getting across the border. Some nice people were there to greet me when I landed.
What's your name?
Bosa. Dennis? Ruben?
I got some great snapshots. And they recommended a reasonable place for me to stay. It wasn't 5-star. But someone had stolen my cash. So I told him to charge me.
Shoot it, puto!
Shoot me.
There were lots of fun activities. The different sights, sounds, smells of the new culture. There was plenty of interaction with the locals. And Mom, I think I met someone special. Wow, she was Capricorn. She has a kid.
Cigarette?
No.
I think he was beginning to warm up to me.
Well, I guess you are special. I need a spotter. You up for the gig?
Okay.
But wouldn't you know it?
Something stinks about you.
You are pushing my leg?
I wouldn't push your leg. Even though you're having a blast.
Where is my money?
Cut a toe off.
We already did that, boss. Two of them.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
He killed my father!
Problems crop up.
I never know when they'll come for my son.
Trouble in paradise.
Yeah, well, we're not going to let that happen.
If I want my trip to go smooth, I got to nip this stuff in the bud.
And you're not going to leave me like this, are you?
Well, Mom, I can't wait to get back. Who am I kidding? I'm not coming back.
Ringo, Ringo.
You know, that was actually, when I sat down and watched it, a really seriously good film. I mean, Mel Gibson rarely acts out an entire film naked, but even though he's getting older, he can pull it off. But the scene where he did was a bit unpleasant.
Yeah, but that's because he's spending all of his time around the pool. He's just What better way to spend your vacation? By the pool?
It does make the beach. Yeah, it does make for kind of a long film, just seeing Mel Gibson naked by a swimming pool for 2 hours, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's gone the way Kevin... It's becoming Kevin Costner. Just one of those really long, drawn-out films.
Yeah, that was a bit of an odd plot twist.
Mm. Yeah.
I just think it was amazing how it was called Get the Gringo, and over here it's called Now How I Spend My Summer Vacation Sitting by the Pool Very Naked Trying to Be Kevin Costner Again. So it was a good... And, you know, there was a great scene which was a good throwback to Lethal Weapon when he turned around to a Mexican guy and a black guy and all that. He turned around and said, I'm getting too racist for this shit.
That was quite good, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. I mean, my favourite bit was the Jew-hugging scene. I'm not quite sure why they put it in, but you remember that scene? It was about 45 minutes in, and this bloke dressed in, like, full Jewish regalia, holding one of those funny Jewish candles, comes up and says, hi, I'm a Jew. And then naked Mel Gibson just walks up and gives him a cuddle. It was brilliant, but I don't really understand why it was there.
Well, yeah, it's the fact that he tries to steer him around with the sideburns. That just really, that really did it for me.
Yeah, buggerous grips, I think they call them.
Yeah, but he did put some version of clothes on, to just because he part directed it, so he has to get some of his old directing in there as well, with the Braveheart colours and the blue and white face. That was just a nice little touch to remind everybody that he was Braveheart.
I just think it's great that we're now watching a film where he's pretending to be crazy.
Mm.
when he is in fact crazy. And, you know, how he spent his summer vacation, you know, they missed out the bits where he was beating up his wife and being racist and he's... What's the word?
Anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic.
Semitic, yeah, because I think of the podcast, yeah.
Oh, that's
why
I asked you, because I didn't want to say it.
Anti-Semitic?
He's been anti-Semitic with the podcast, boy. Yeah. Podcast Network. But yeah, so Mel Gibson there, sister, acting crazy, not being crazy.
Brilliant film. So what's our overall opinion on the film? Should we go and see it? Should you go and see it?
I don't know why that changed the name. I don't even know. What's a gringo?
A gringo is gringo. It's what the Mexicans call non-Mexicans, really.
Or Americans, maybe.
Yeah. But I don't understand why they've changed it.
No, I can't think of anything that's that gringo is offensive in Europe.
No, in Latvian it means filthy motherfucker.
The filthy motherfucker. But that's quite a good name of a film. Yeah, you get the filthy motherfucker. Because it's Mel Gibson. And he's naked. He's a filthy motherfucker.
By the pool. Yeah. Trying to be Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
But I'd see it. Yeah. We have seen it.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Yes, that's right. And I'd recommend it.
Yeah.
My summer vacation in the UK, in America, and probably other places, Get the Gringo.
Yes. So
two films.
In one.
But it's funny how Get the Gringo was full frontal on Mel Gibson, but How I Spent My Summer Vacation was full backle. Does that work?
Yes, that's
trademarked.
Yeah. But you know he had a bum double.
Yes.
It was Kevin Costner.
In the States he had a cock double, it was Ron Jeremy.
Here's a weird question. Mm. Have you seen Ron Jeremy's penis?
Probably at some point.
Probably at some point. I've seen so many, I don't know.
I've seen an awful lot of internet porn.
Well done, Will.
I don't know if any of them had Ron Jeremy in.
Right, yeah,
does he often do necro-bestiality films? I mean, that's what I normally go for.
Twice you said that tonight. Now I'm getting a little worried.
Different podcasts.
Yes, but it's still tonight.
I said it once and it was there at the top of my mind.
Alright. Really?
Yeah.
It's not the only
thing. It's always on my mind.
I'm sitting next to him.
Oh, great. Should we then move along?
Yeah, swiftly.
Well, you fancy a bit of star watching?
Yeah, why not?
Go on then.
Today's Star Watch is somebody which you will
yes
love.
He's awesome.
We said this last time.
It's Willow Offgood.
Yeah,
but we were too pissed.
I really do feel bad for anybody listening who actually thinks that was one of our best podcasts. Well, I don't think they think it was our best podcast.
I think that's our standard quality of podcast. No,
hopefully that's not the first one that people listen to.
I really do.
Well, it'll be the last one as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it would have turned off halfway through.
Yeah.
Because it's just so bad.
Moving on. Let's stop dwelling on it.
I feel bad for the listener.
Mm.
Or that one listener. But today's one, I'm going to play a little clip out. It's harder to find a clip for this person than it was for the other people. And
okay,
but no, it's a little clip of him telling a funny story. And yeah, then we're going to have a little Star Watch with your favourite actor.
I was in New Zealand once, and we went on a fishing trip. I caught a shark within a couple of minutes. I caught a shark, like a 3-foot shark, and everyone clapped, and it was really.
You're the man.
I was the man, yeah. And put it back in, carried on. People were catching cod and all this. I caught another shark. By the time I caught 10 sharks, I was like Shark Boy. And the captain was kind of looking at me thinking, and this kid's got something. And little did I know, there was a woman on the boat who was having a really heavy period. And I was fishing right over the toilet outlet, right? So she was effectively chumming the water for me. So there was like this massive... And then she was in the toilet listening to me going, I've got another one! And I remember looking down into the sea and seeing it coming out and thinking, oh, this is clever. They've got like a bait pumping system. But I tried to tell that story as stand-up on stage so many times and it would just get, oh, come on. You know? I mean, vague disbelief and disgust. And I always thought that was really funny, you know? But it never got a proper laugh and I also thought it's going to work tonight. The period shark stuff is going to really work tonight.
Since then, have you got married?
Yes.
And have you run this past your wife, this whole problem of the shark period joke?
I have told her that.
And would she advise you not to?
She just was disgusted by it. She said, you should never have said that in public.
The man, the legend, my chum and yours, Simon Pegg.
What a great story.
I know, it's beautiful.
Brilliant story.
But yeah, so Simon Pegg, Mr. England, Mr. Britain.
He's become, well, he's making it in the States now. He's doing quite well. He's done a fair few films out there. But, I mean, he's been on British TV in a lot of cult comedy, comedy series, which we probably won't go into, I'm assuming. We're just going to look at the movie stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've started...
But just to mention briefly, he was in Spaced, which is one of the best British sitcoms. Out there, he was in Big Train, I believe.
Yeah,
it's a sketch show, which are some fantastic sketches.
Is it Bill Bailey appeared in? He was in a sitcom called Faith in the Future. I Am Alan Partridge. He appeared in.
He appeared in Black Books in one of those episodes as well with Dylan Moran.
That's
and
right,
Bill Bailey.
Green Wing. I think he was in for one episode on all of that same bunch
Brass
of comics
Eye as well.
Brass Eye, yeah,
and. Hippies, I don't know what
that
is.
Oh, that wasn't actually very good. No. It was a sitcom that just wasn't great.
Okay, but yeah, we won't talk about Stevie's stuff. So we're going like his first film that he was in, 1999. He's not that old, not that young, should I say.
No.
So he obviously went into his.
He's been around a little while, yeah.
Guest House Paradiso.
That was Adrian Edmondson and Rick Mayall, Richie and Eddie Hitler, but they were playing
those type of characters,
but not the actual ones.
Yeah,
but not the actual characters from Bottom.
But it was so clearly them.
Yeah, it was. It was Bottom the movie, but they didn't want to sell it as Bottom the movie. They wanted to sell it as Saint Kelsey.
Of course,
it done quite well. Apparently.
Yeah,
it went to America. I don't know why.
Our murking chums probably wouldn't have known who the people from Bottom were, and it was probably just better to separate it out. If you see what I mean.
That was the idea.
But yeah, it's just straightforward British slapstick, really.
He played Mr. Nice, and I think it was the guy. I think he was the guy who took the family to the hotel.
Actually, have to admit, I've never seen it.
I've seen it, but I don't remember.
Gross out stuff. That's what they do best. But obviously, like you said, Spaced from 1999 to 2001 was the one.
That really got him. I mean, Big Train, I recognised him when I saw Space out of Big Train, but I didn't know the name.
Yeah. The Parole Officer in 2001, he played...
Steve Coogan?
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
He played Deflated Husband. So he's not really getting big roles.
No, not at all. He looks like
he's getting roles off his mates.
Yes, in fact, yeah, absolutely.
And, Parole Officer was actually quite a good little film. It was very dry, but it was very... He played a parole officer that witnessed a murder or something along them lines. And
yeah, I have seen it, but I don't remember it.
Quite a forgettable film, really.
Yeah.
But it's alright. When I watched it, I chuckled. That's when Steve Coogan was starting to become like, oh, he's going to be the next big thing, and it didn't really take off of him in them sort of films at all.
No.
I think the biggest film he's been in is possibly the Night Museum film, Steve Coogan.
I forgot he was in there.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't a major part, though, was he?
Yeah, he was a small part.
Yeah.
Okay, he was actually in Band of Brothers. I know it's a TV miniseries, but he was actually in Band of
Brothers.
That's
the war thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Second World War.
Tom Hanks, Spielberg. I'm not into all that stuff.
It's all right. Depends on the story, basically. I don't really mind the setting, so long as the story's good.
Yeah. Mm. All right, okay. 2002, 24-Hour Party People.
Good film.
That's a really good, another Steve Coogan film.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's a really good film. Yeah. And that's proper like indie, sort of about the Manchester club scene.
That's right, yes.
And he just played a journalist. So again,
bit part for his with his mates, sorry, yeah.
Exactly. But then he's also done a couple of films, The Reckoning. No idea what that is.
No.
A TV movie called Final Demand. I just imagine that's some kind of like giant octopus or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whenever I hear TV movie, that's straight away what I see.
Yeah,
one of crap.
Rubber squid. Killdozer.
And then obviously he's gone through all this stuff and done a few things, like you said, Black Books. He was in 2004.
Oh,
but then 2004, 2 years after Spaced had ended.
Yeah.
A small film that hardly anybody watched. Shaun of the Dead.
Fuck you. That is an absolute piece of genius.
It's awesome. In my top 10 of favourite films of all time.
It's brilliant.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's so clever. And it's so well done. I'll be honest, when I first watched it, I didn't like it that much. I kind of didn't get it. I thought it was a comedy, and I didn't think it was that funny at first, and it was a little bit dark. I watched it a second time. In the space of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was completely like, what? This one's amazing.
I was similar, but the difference with me is I watched it, and then I went, and I was, it was alright, you know, I laughed in a few places, but then I went and watched a shitload of George Romero type films, watched a load of zombie flicks, I watched 28 Days Later, I watched the remake of Dawn of the Dead, I watched Land of the Dead, and all of that sort of stuff. And then I went back and watched Shaun of the Dead, and it cracked me up.
Yeah, it's genius.
It's spot on.
Really in there. If you like them sort of films and horror films and zombie movies, it really hit now.
Yeah.
But if you don't watch in films, it still works.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you've got to give it time.
Yeah.
And that's actually spawned some of the other sort of comedy parts in some other zombie films. It's sort of led the way in that respect.
Yeah.
It sort of took the zombie genre and kind of went, you can have it funny, you can do something with it.
Yes.
There's obviously him, Nick Frost and Edgar Wright.
Yeah, it was just some normal... It's what normal English blokes would do in the event of the zombie apocalypse, which is
go to the pub,
yeah. Fucking love it.
But that's what it is, though. And it's very British, and that's what everyone loves about it.
It's incredibly English, yes.
Yeah, and that's what, like, Garage Cast, they always think we're going to go down to Winchester.
Yeah.
They think that's what we do. We just go sit in the pub.
Legend has it. That's a real rifle.
Dogs can't look up.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But it's a genius scene at the beginning when he turns around, he's talking to his girlfriend, and it's Nick Foster's, any of you cunts?
Like, can I get any of you cunts a drink?
Yeah. And he goes, throws to Peanuts. Peanuts, heads up! Hits him in the face.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate. What? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You bastard.
But it's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole film is like, it's so well written, so well acted. Simon Pegg is perfect as
Simon Pegg and Neil Frost are just a perfect duo.
I'd say the trio with Edgar Wright directing them. It's like the De Niro and
does Edgar Wright get in front of the camera? Does he play any of the characters?
No, he always does directing. But it's like the De Niro Scorsese partnership. It works because if you know what your director's going to do and what your actor's going to be like, you can get some gold out of them.
Totally. So what do you do next?
Well, he did Shaun of the Dead, then he went on down a couple of more TV stuff and appeared here, there and everywhere. Doctor Who was in Doctor Who episode. Then he appeared in The League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse, which was a League of Gentlemen movie.
Not The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
No, League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse.
British comedy. Yes, I've seen it. I didn't think it was a very good film. I loved the TV series of The League of Gentlemen, but the apocalypse film was, to be honest, disappointing.
I haven't seen it.
I wasn't really a massive fan of League of Gentlemen. It was a bit too much for me, I think.
Oh, I enjoyed it. That was proper dark humour.
Yeah.
Mm.
2005, this is interesting. It wasn't a massive part, but I know we got it because of Shaun of the Dead. He was in Land of the Dead.
Was he really?
Yeah, it's not a character. He played Photo Booth Zombie. There's a
scene. Oh, he was zombed up, was he?
Yeah, he was a zombie with.
Nick Frost. He got to be. That was a Romero film, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Land of the
Romero
Dead.
Film.
Oh,
him
man.
And Nick Frost played two zombies. They were in stocks and they were taking pictures. You can take a picture with a zombie if you remember that part of the film.
You see, Land of the Dead, I would actually say, not outside of the comedy side, is probably my favourite zombie film.
Really?
I think it's brilliant. It's because it's a futuristic zombie film. It's like the zombie apocalypse. Dennis. What goes on here is excellent.
Dennis Hopper's in that, isn't he? Dennis Hopper's like the main guy.
Yes, yeah, the big bad guy.
Yeah. He's dead now, isn't he? Dennis Hopper, he died.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he died last year sometime.
I didn't. Don't think I knew.
No, he's a good actor, he was.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, Ash, watch Land of the Dead.
Yeah, I'm going to go and find it.
Just watch it more. You should start off with Night Living Dead.
No, to be honest.
That's a good film.
Yeah, it's a good film, but it's dated, mate. It's better off starting with
the
Dawn of the
charm,
Dead remake.
No, that's what I think you've got the charm of that.
You've got to have the patience and the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go with the modern zombie stuff just because the makeup and the special effects make the films. The old stuff these days is not enough to scare you.
Poor. But the remake of Dawn of the Dead was very good.
It was excellent. I would start there.
And then go to Land of the Dead.
Diary of the
Dead was... They don't really continue off each other.
No, they're not, but...
Well, because in Dawn of the Dead, the remake, the zombies run. So...
Whereas
Land of the Dead, they're old school Romero.
Except the one that gets intelligent and learns to use a semi-automatic assault rifle.
Yeah, but then they also are very clever and they walk through water.
Yes, they're getting bright.
They literally walk along the bed.
Oh, World War Z's out this summer, isn't it?
The Brad Pitt one.
Yeah. Well, if it's anywhere near as good as the book,
I
thought it was. I could be wrong, but if it's anywhere as near as good as the book is, that's going to be amazing.
Simon Pegg in it.
Wouldn't be surprised if he's got a bit.
Photo of a zombie.
Okay, so what's next on the list?
Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
He played the specky guy, the geek, the science geek. The techie. Which he had to get a bigger part later on in films.
Did he have to crouch next to Tom Cruise?
No, apparently
Tom Cruise is standing in a box.
They do actually work things out, so Tom Cruise actually doesn't look too small.
Yep.
I think it was a story about him in Top Gun with Kelly McGillis, who was actually very tall. She had to be standing on certain stuff, and he had to stand high above just so they could get at least a little bit level.
I've heard rumours, but you know, on some sets they dig small ditches for people to stand in. It might be bullshit, but I'd like to think
it's
true.
Here we are. This is the path you're going to walk. There's these two channels that just cross, and you got to stick in there.
Why are we filming this by a drainage ditch? Shut up and get in there.
Why is he sitting on someone's shoulders? All right, 2006, he did The Big Nothing, which was a David Schwimmer.
I watched that recently. Very recent, yeah, just purely coincidentally, not out of plan, but it came to on the DVD list the other day. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. It's when they planned to kill someone?
No, they planned to blackmail someone. Basically, plays like a desktop support guy in a call centre, as does David Schwimmer.
Mm-hmm. Who directed it?
That's indeed correct. So that was their first collaboration together, I'm assuming, because they collaborated again down the line.
Yep.
But he plays as like an IT support guy who's found that this vicar's got all of this pornography on his hard drive and decides to blackmail him, and the woman gets involved, but it all goes horribly wrong with what comedic. It turns out to be snuff movies, doesn't it?
Now, what was it? Beastie...
It wasn't necro-bestiality, it was S&M and snuff.
All snuff movie stuff.
That's the route it went down in the end. But I won't actually give more away than that. But yeah, it's very much comedy of errors, heist gone wrong sort of movie. There's
a
good laughs in there.
It's
yeah, black comedy. It's good fun. Okay. Not brilliant, but good fun.
2007, The Good Night. You watched this?
Yes, I actually watched this yesterday.
What's it about?
He's the supporting actor.
You got Martin Freeman, Gwyneth Paltrow, Salma Hayek,
you
and him.
and him.
Is that Good Night with a K?
No. Good Night with an N.
Good Night with an N. It's about a guy who...
Penelope Cruz. Sorry.
That's it.
I thought you were going to say Penelope Keith then.
And Danny DeVito
is the dream thing. It's all about sleep.
It's a weird one, because the poster I've seen, it's got Gwyneth Paltrow, Martin Freeman, Penelope Cruz and Dan DeVito on the main poster with
Martin Freeman, is that Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah.
Right.
But the poster I've seen must be the English one. They've taken Dan DeVito out and put Simon Pegg in it.
Right. Oh, okay.
So obviously there's a way of trying.
Yeah, I would have put Simon Pegg as a slightly bigger role than Danny DeVito.
Okay.
But they're sort of both supporting actors.
What's it about dreams?
It's about, dude goes to sleep and dreams about this really nice bird who he wants to know rather than his wife.
Spats himself.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to pork her.
Dead dog.
No.
She's just dead.
She's just dead. And she turns into a beast.
Necro beast.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that now, don't you?
Like the word of it is a great word.
It is quite a good word, but unfortunately, no, there's none of that actually in it.
Oh, you ain't watching it.
There's a line in The Commitments. You're fucking dead, rabbit.
What?
It's necro-bestiality.
You're fucking a dead rabbit.
No, you're fucking dead, rabbit, because the main character is Jimmy Rabbit.
Okie dokie. But anyway, it's all right.
That's all right.
We're giving such such massive rave reviews at the moment, aren't we?
2007.
Yep.
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Wicked.
Very funny.
Bring the noise.
I do like Hot Fuzz.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
Nick Frost really steals that film, though, without a doubt.
Mm.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, the thing is, Simon Pegg plays the straight man.
Yeah, he has to.
But Nick Frost's character is just so lovable and lame.
Yeah.
He plays very well in quite a lot of his parts, and him being a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
I did Hot Fuzz. I like it when they reference it's the first one of the Ice Cream and Blood trilogy. The second one in the Ice Cream and Blood trilogy.
The third one I shall tell you more about in a bit.
Ooh.
Breaking news.
Yeah, found this out today.
Okay, 2007 again. Run, Fatboy, Run. It was on a bit of a roll this year, 2007.
That was a good film. I hadn't seen his previous collaborations with David Schwimmer, but I have to say, I didn't expect any film with David Schwimmer involved in any way, shape or form to be that good.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought it was an excellent film.
I haven't watched that one yet. That was on my potential list and wanted to see if anyone had watched it to whether it was actually worth watching.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, it's on my list and I was waiting to see if anyone wanted to watch it with me.
I wanted someone to hold my hand.
Because it's scary.
Can you watch this Fatboy Run, please? That is a good film. 2000.
That's got what's his name? Oh, generally ends up playing an Israeli terrorist in any film. British comedian.
Omid Djawadi.
Ahmed Jalili.
I don't think he's in that one.
Isn't he?
No. You're thinking.
Am I thinking? Who's the bloke on the bike?
No, that's just some fat guy. That's his landlord.
That's not actually his landlord in real life. For some reason.
Simon Pegg probably owns his own house.
He was telling, he was making the film, he was like, who plays the kids? You know what? I've got a landlord. I
can't remember who it is. In that case, for some reason, my memory was telling me it was him, but I don't know who it is, but it was such a brilliant character. Big fat bloke cycling around next to Simon Pegg while he runs, hitting it faster.
2008, this is when you first went out, you did a proper Hollywood movie. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
Another good film.
I like that one. Megan Fox, Gillian Anderson, Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
Yeah, he's really good in that film.
Yes, because he plays an absolute arse.
He wants to like him.
Yeah.
But whenever he opens his mouth, he hates him.
Yes.
he kind of gets the impression, like, I really liked you, I really like the work you do. And then when he comes in his office,
you're a cock.
It's a great scene where Simon Pegg walks in there. He's got something on the front, like Frankie says come or something.
Yeah, Frankie says relax.
Yeah, he says something weird, like offensive, with a t-shirt. He walks in there with Jeff Bridges and he goes, what the fuck are you wearing? He goes, oh, I've got a t-shirt for you. And he goes, oh, cheers, just throws it out the window. He plays it so well, but Simon Pegg is actually really good at it. He makes
it's one of his first serious roles, I would say.
No, it's a comedy, that film.
It is a comedy, but it's kind of it's got comedic sides to it.
Are you trying to say it's a comedy that's not funny?
No, it's
it was supposed to be actually a serious film. But yeah, it got funny bits.
It was a serious film with laughs rather than a deliberately a comedy in the way I see it. If you see what I mean, it's a rom com.
Yeah, because the book is very cliche, because the book is...
You're just proud that you've read a book.
And they, what they do, they take out the situations in the book and just piece them into a Hollywood story.
Can I just mention, last week I read The Beach, and I'm third of the way through Fight Club at the moment.
Fight Club like?
Not bad, actually. The trouble is, I know the ending.
Yeah, is it really? Yeah, but is it not obvious in the book?
The book offers you more. No, actually, I'm finding it most interesting because I'm carefully looking at the wordings, and it's very similar to how the film was done.
So I'm pegging it?
No, no.
Move on then. 2009, Star Trek.
Yes!
I liked that one. That was a good
I hated the first half of that film because to me that was very much like just a teen romance thing, and then all of a sudden it just suddenly got good.
I liked it.
I thought the start of it was good. Awful.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the start of it was terrible. Yeah.
Did you know what cinema?
Sorry, not romance, but it was all about the rebellious teens and stuff, and then when they finally got up on the ship, it came in. But, you know, but the rebellious schoolboy. Yeah, it was shite.
But
once he was on the ship.
But again, if you're a Star Trek fan, you'll understand that Captain Kirk is a fucking pimp. He fucked every fucking alien out there.
Absolutely, yeah. But the first bit just felt the first bit just felt teen movie.
I understand what you're saying. I think about what happened before they actually get on the fucking ship.
It took too long to start, basically.
But they had to introduce it. The second one,
the second one
has no.
Everyone knew who the fuck James T. Kirk is,
apart from the people that didn't. And there was a lot of them out there had no idea what Star Trek was about.
Bastards.
I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I love this movie. But then again, this
That was kind of a peg in a previous film.
But there's no excuse for the second film then to be bad, because there's no build up. They haven't got to introduce anyone. They can get straight into the action.
If they get in with a good old Star Trek story, that'd be fabulous.
And they are bringing Khan back. Guess who's playing Khan?
James Caan out of Dragon's Den.
That'd be funny. Why Dragon's Den? Which isn't James Caan. There is a James Caan actor out there from The Godfather.
Yeah, but it'd be less funny.
They don't know who. Do people listen like Dragon's Den? What's that?
Hey, well, the people in the States, there's a Dragon's Den there. There's a stateside version. One in Australia. The Dragon's Den is everywhere. It's just in the UK. One of the investors who's not currently in this series, because he's been replaced by a transvestite with enormous shoulders.
Oh, Hilary
DeVay. Yeah, she's mental bonkers.
Say yes to buy all your stock in your shop.
She's fucking crazy. Brilliant. Simon Pegg.
Was he in Dragon's Den?
No, it's not that old.
Benedict Cumberbatch is playing Khan in the next Star Trek movie.
Such a good name.
Yeah, from Sherlock. You know, Benedict Cumberbatch's.
I've not seen Sherlock.
Oh, it's brilliant. What's Sherlock?
Okay.
Is that a series?
Yes, the TV series. The TV series
called Sherlock.
2009, he did a voice in Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. Played Buck, the crazy eye-patched
thing.
Yeah, I don't know what he was. Is he like a ferret or something?
I don't think I saw that. I got bored of the Ice Age films. That was, you know, Ice Age 7, The Search for More Money. Stuff. Yeah.
For more ice.
Yeah.
2010, Burke and Hare.
Good film.
John Landis movie.
The story of Burke and Hare.
Based on a true story.
Two famous kind of... they were grave robbers who then decided to accelerate things by just killing...
There's a grave digger and a grave robber.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Well, they dig the grave and rob it.
Young one's line. Oh, do you dig graves? Yeah, man, they're really cool.
Yeah.
Something like that. But no, that was based on a true story about two Scottish people who, basically... started off by digging up corpses and selling them to doctors for money because there was a big desire for them, but then decided to move things forward a little by putting them in the graves in the first place, and then just started because they found a few bodies lying around, and then they decided to make the bodies themselves.
I've not actually seen it. I've seen half of it, and a bit dark.
I've not seen
it. I like dark.
The story's dark, but the film is very light.
The story is dark. Yeah, it's a dark comedy.
Floodlights.
Fun.
It's a black comedy. It's done very well. There's a good few laughs in it.
Okay,
weak dude.
When I was a kid,
actually, as soon as it was, I heard the first time I heard that it was a black comedy, I expected it to be like the Cosby
Eddie Murphy.
The Cosby
Show. Can you do a Bill Cosby impression? I want someone to do a really good Bill Cosby impression, so I can make him do it all the time.
No,
that's what I'm looking to do. I love Bill Cosby impressions. I think they're amazing. 2011. Paul.
Good film again.
That was good.
The Alien.
Yeah. Back when Nick Frost. I actually watched that today.
It's a good film. It's not as good as. I think. It's
I think Paul's got the wrong accent. Paul doesn't sound right to me.
What? Seth Rogen? He's wicked in that film as a little alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think that film, I don't know, maybe it's because I, whenever I see Nick Frost and Simon Pegg together, I want them to be directed by Edgar Wright, because I want them to have that
feel. It's that feel. Yeah, it's that vibe. That's that, what that I think
is missing from that film. Normally that film's funny and it's good.
Yes.
It was missing that one little bit, and it's just like, when them two are together, you need Edgar Wright to be there.
Yeah, because he brings out certain things in them. There's certain humour that wasn't in there. No, I do agree with that.
And Nick Frost did actually buy a katana.
Katana.
It was labelled as a katana in the shop. He had his sword on his back, but when he went to actually draw it, he just snapped the handle.
Oh, that was
because it was really poorly made. And showed it to Sigourney Weaver, who had a gun.
Don't spoil it. Sigourney Weaver's in that film. You're not supposed to spoil.
I was only saying, well, you can find on IMDb, Sigourney Weaver is in that film.
Fair.
I didn't say who she was.
She played Paul.
Yeah. And she played Nick Frost.
The Adventures of Tintin, Secret Unicorn. I do not give two fucks about
not Tintin. Interested. No.
2011, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. So Mission Impossible 4, same character that he played in number 3. Bigger part though, he actually done some of the like, action sequences.
Yeah, he was almost a co-star as opposed to a
bigger part. He wasn't standing in the ditch.
Okay, so Will, announced.
I heard this today that we're going to have the third instalment in the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy.
Nice.
Now, I shall read the article out. Actually, no, I shan't. Yes, I shall. Okay. Edgar Wright... I don't know, I got bored. Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost have set a date for The World's End, with their long-time collaborators planning to shoot their next film in September. The third instalment of the loosely linked trilogy that kicked off with Shaun of the Dead and continued with Hot Fuzz, World's End will doubtless feature blood and ice cream, with Deadline reporting the synopsis as follows. And I fucking love the sound of this. 20 years after attempting an epic pub crawl, five childhood friends reunite when one of them becomes hell-bent on trying the drinking marathon again. So that makes me think of a Circle Line pub crawl.
Yes.
They're convinced to stage an encore by mate Gary King, a 40-year-old man trapped at the cigarette end of his teens, who drags his reluctant pals to their hometown and once again attempts to reach the fabled pub, The World's End. As they attempt to reconcile the past and present, they realise the real struggle is for the future, not just theirs, but humankind's. Reaching The World's End is the least of their worries. Pegg and Wright again pen the screenplay, which is good, with the team now waiting for Universal to greenlight the project, but if all goes according to plan, expect The World's End to hit the screens in the spring of 2013.
Nice.
Yes.
It reminds me a little bit of a film called Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, where the guys go to the pub, three guys go to a pub, and they get stuck in a time warp, and they, every time they go to the toilet and they come out, they've gone forward in time, and then they witness their own deaths, and they go fucking millions of years in time, and they've become gods and that. It's a really weird film, British film.
Yeah.
And I think you should definitely watch it. I think you'll like it. It's got that kind of Shaun of the Dead feel about it.
Okay.
Every time they go to the toilet.
Yeah, they go into this toilet cubicle and they go forward and back in time. It's actually quite a cool little film. You're going to write it down so you don't forget.
Yes.
Frequently asked questions about time travel. Okay, so there's Simon Pegg, good Star Watch.
Yes, I think he's brilliant and definitely one to watch. He's just going to get bigger.
Yep. Well, not fatter.
No, that's Nick Frost.
All right, so come on, let's go into some go back and watch this shit, shall we?
Yeah. I do want to just quickly say, because they're talking about The World's End, the pub for this, and I want to know if they're going to use The World's End pub in Camden.
Probably.
Because that's a very well-known pub. It'd be fascinating to see if they do use that.
Yeah, it would
be
good.
Film it there, you can go down there.
But when you said the town...
Oh, if I know Pegg and Frost are filming in that pub, I'm going to be there, mate, yes.
Yeah, but when you said the they went back to their
hometown,
it would probably be The World's End, which will be a...
Tell you what, I can almost see it being... This is it. This is going to be an H.P. Lovecraft-esque That is a proper H.P. Lovecraft pub name. We're going to have mentions of Cthulhu, the Kraken rising from the deep, and all of that sort of stuff. It's going to be an H.P. Lovecraft one. I will put money on it.
The fuck is H.P. Lovecraft?
Oh, for you.
Sounds like a fucking sauce. Don't get angry. I'm asking a question.
H.P. Lovecraft was one of the original horror authors. Have you heard of Cthulhu?
Is this going to be a really long story?
No.
Okay.
Have you heard of Cthulhu? Right, I won't bother going any further because it's not worth explaining.
Just fucking Google it.
Yeah. Lovecraft, all of the American werewolf stuff, all of the werewolf stories, so much of it was inspired by Lovecraft stuff and just the original horror. You will see references to his stuff in so many places, but it's a real oldie-worldy feel to it, and I reckon a pub called The World's End just sounds like something straight out of it. So it's going to be a little English village with this creaky pub, and it's going to be along those lines, I reckon. I hope. It'll be brilliant.
Cool. Now we've said it, we've got record you saying it, so.
Yeah.
Copyrighted.
I could be wrong, but I hope it is down that right line, because I reckon they'd do that well.
Okay, should we go back and watch some shit?
Yeah. Let's do it.
We have to go back! We have to go back! We have to go back!
So today's go back and watch this shit is a very, very good film. I was trying to think of a proper word. I couldn't really think of anything, but it's an indie film.
It's a cult film.
Cult film. Cult indie.
Yep.
Nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah, that's meaningless.
Made a star of certain people, and it brought stars back.
Yeah, and just had a hell of a lot of stars in it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
The cast list is absolutely amazing.
Some great scenes, some quotable lines.
Yeah.
And it really defined a generation, they say.
Well, I don't know about that, but it was a fucking good film.
It defined the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, because then, from then, every film wanted to be like this film.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Or should we just, I'll play trailer.
A few films wanted to be this film.
Okay, here's today's go back and watch your shit.
Miramax Films is proud to present one of the most celebrated motion pictures of the year. The winner of the 1994 Palme d'Or. The best picture of the Cannes Film Festival.
So interested in big man's wife.
Well, he's going out of town of Florida, and he asked me if I take care of the wife. He's gone.
Take care of
him? No, man. Just show her a good time, make sure she don't get lonely.
You see, this is a moral test of oneself.
I do believe Marcellus, my husband, your boss, told you to take me out and do whatever I wanted. I love you so
much, can't count on whether or not you can maintain loyalty.
Night of the fight, you may feel a slight sting. Pride only hurts, it never helps. In the fifth, your ass goes down.
I have to say, playing matches, you get burned.
We should have shot guys for this kind of deal.
We're in a lot of danger, aren't we?
I'm prepared to scar the earth for that.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration? Get down,
get down. You got a corpse in a car, minus a head in the garage. Take me to it.
Don't you hate that?
Hate what?
Uncomfortable silences.
John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Amanda Plummer, Maria de Medeiros, Bing Rames, Eric Stoltz, Rosanna Arquette, Christopher Walken, and Bruce Willis.
Looking at something, friend?
Ain't my friend looking.
Die, you mother!
A new film directed by Quentin Tarantino. Pulp Fiction.
You really thinking about quitting?
Most definitely.
What you gonna do then?
Basically, I'm just gonna walk the earth.
What you mean, walk the earth?
You know, like Kane in Kung Fu.
Yeah! Pulp Fiction!
Oh, classic.
Superb film.
Tarantino, before he turned into an arty wanker.
What was that noise?
What noise?
It went boom.
That's probably the bottle hitting the edge of the pewter tankard.
Oh, we probably it didn't sound like that. It sounded like a device going off or something.
No.
A device going off.
That normally makes quite a much... When you say device, I'm thinking of like improvised explosive device, you see.
They're normal devices that I play with.
Because, I don't know, it's just a device.
You're like a guy who tried to blow up...
If you say gadget...
But Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
There aren't many devices.
It's like a gun going off in Marvin's face.
What noise does the gun make? So Pulp Fiction. What's Pulp Fiction about, Ash?
Oh, it is about some druggy people
druggy
who do some stuff and...
There's
a lot of things about a case.
It's about drugs. Trying
to find a case. Yeah. It's all about Marcellus Wallace.
And Mrs. Mia Wallace.
Mrs. Mia Wallace.
Vincent with Vega.
Yeah. Jules.
Jules.
Honey Bunny.
Butch.
Mr. the Wolf.
The Wolf.
The Wolf.
The Dwarf. Mr. the Wolf.
Mr. Dwarf.
Mr. Dwarf.
Actually, there aren't any dwarfs in it.
I've often missed a dwarf. No. You know, I just looking straight ahead. Forget to look down.
Accidentally near him in the head.
Let's not go on about that last time. So, yeah, Pulp Fiction, Quentin Tarantino's second movie after Reservoir Dogs.
And a better film.
Yeah, it's a lot better than Reservoir Dogs. I like Reservoir Dogs, personally.
Apart from the torture scene, which I always got a bit uncomfortable with, I thought it was a pretty decent.
Didn't see that much.
I just didn't like it.
Fell out of song, did you?
That's a good song. It's a little green bag, isn't it? They're playing it.
No.
Stuck
in the middle of you.
Stuck in the middle of you. Steelers Wheel. Jerry Rafferty used to play with Billy Connolly.
He's dead now.
He's into his necrobestiality, but he's not into his torture.
Yes.
I've never.
Oh dear.
No, it's not torture because they're already dead.
That's why flogging a dead horse won't upset you.
Different podcast. Mm. But yeah, so there's some great scenes in Pulp Fiction, and the great thing is the narrative is all skewed up.
It's all over the shop. Way, it's several different stories.
Yeah.
Like Sin City.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of short stories as well.
It's short stories, but it's in the same timeline.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, some films that do short stories at different timelines.
Yeah.
This one all brought them together. They all meet each other, they all cross each other's paths in certain ways.
It finishes in a climax.
Yeah, it's like...
like I often do.
Yeah. And there's one bit when I remember reading about the director... No, a producer was reading the script from Quentin Tarantino, and obviously John Travolta, Vincent Vega was the main character.
Yeah,
and he was reading it, and then he dies not even halfway through the script. So he put it down, rang up Tarantino, and he said, "No." He goes, "You can't kill your main character off that." He goes, keep reading. And obviously, then you start understanding that it doesn't matter if he dies because he's going to be there for the whole film because he walks out of the place
shop at the end.
Yeah, so.
It's a bit all over the shop. It's just a very well done.
We said shop too many times in that sentence.
Yeah.
shop.
Oh, that's probably where I came from. Yeah.
We're influencing you.
Go out and buy this shit.
But it's like I say, it's a very cleverly done, slick story. It's interesting because, as you say, the timelines skip around a bit. But there's a lot of dry humour in there. Really sort of dark humour.
Is it a black comedy, Will?
And it's got some black people in it.
It's got Samuel L. Jackson.
The best black person in the world.
Yeah.
If I have a black kid, I want it to be Samuel Jackson.
But he doesn't have a purple lightsaber. I'm just going to completely ignore
To be honest, comment. If your missus gives birth to a black kid, aren't you going to be a little bit confused?
I'll give it time. If it comes out like Samuel Jackson, I'll
That's
be okay.
fine, yeah.
I'm fine with it.
I'm Samuel L. Jackson's dad. Fuck you.
Samuel Jackson. We just found the title of today's episode. Okay, so here's a clip. Here's the key clip. The infamous clip from Samuel Jackson giving off all that preachy shit.
Going a bit biblical on their asses.
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country are you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yes!
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What? Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
He's black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Does he look like a bitch?
No!
Then why you try to fuck him like a bitch, Brett?
He didn't.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Brett. You tried to fuck him. And Marcellus Wallace don't like to be fucked by anybody except Mrs. Wallace. You read the Bible, Brett?
Yes.
Oh, there's this passage I got memorized. Sort of fits this occasion. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
You love that, didn't you?
I do. I actually had it on my PC years ago when you shut down, because you can change the Windows noises on my work PC. When I shut it down, it played that entire clip from the start of, you know, the Ezekiel 25:17, Path of the Righteous Man, blah, 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 right to the gunshots. And I just realised it took me an extra 3 minutes to get out of the office, but I loved it.
But it annoyed the hell out of your colleagues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was the general office boy. I didn't really give a shit about colleagues.
No?
No.
What's general office boy as opposed to...
Office junior.
Oh, you literally didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, basically.
Spitting their tea.
No, it's more... No. It's more masturbating, tea. Yeah.
As long as it wasn't
masturbating under the table.
Cappuccino.
We've run out of cream. Don't worry about that, though.
I'll see what I can rustle up.
Give me 10 minutes.
Well, you don't want 2 cups, do you? Shit.
Get you a week's worth.
I need to go and eat some yoghurt.
But that clip, though, that was the reason he got nominated for an Oscar. Just purely for that scene. When he's sitting there getting all biblical on their asses.
It's nice, particularly at the end when he goes, well, I don't really know what it means.
It could mean this, it could mean that.
I mean, right, go on, let's go through the cast list who's in this film. You've got Bruce Willis.
Yep.
You've got Samuel Jackson.
On a return to form for Bruce Willis, he actually played something other than your Bruce Willis action hero.
Mm.
That was one of the first times I ever saw him in a role outside of the action hero.
A dark role.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's pretty fucking moody.
Yeah, oh, it was great.
I don't think he smiles once in this film.
Probably not.
Zed's dead. Yeah, I think he does. I think he's a fucking like grumpy cunt, doesn't he?
Yeah, brilliant.
Mm. He kills the guy, doesn't he?
He kills the boxer.
The boxer, but not on purpose, though. Is he by accident?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't actually know he's killed him until he gets in the taxi.
Yeah, but he's supposed to go down.
Yeah,
as always in these films, you're always supposed to go down. If that's what the case, why don't they make it a little more simple? You're going to win. I'm gonna bet on you to win. Go and win. Not go down in a fifth.
No, well, they're betting on the other guy to win, aren't they?
Always bet on the pikey.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was reminding me of. If I was Brictor, I'd be like, yeah, let's bet on the pikey, he's going to win.
Mm.
Come on, because no one's going to pay money on him. Anyway, we digress.
We're moving away from Snatch, although that's a wicked film.
Yes. I like Snatch.
Don't we all?
Right, Bruce Willis, like I said, John Travolta.
Yes, and that was definitely his return.
That was he was done Saturday Night Fever and films during that.
He'd vanished for quite a long time.
He was doing the baby films, wasn't he? With Bruce Willis.
Oh, Look Who's Talking.
Yeah. Bruce Willis was the baby's voice.
Yeah.
And, well, the baby's voice in his head.
Yes.
And then obviously John Travolta went off and done this and went off and started trying to have sex with loads of massage people.
Yeah, male masseurs, apparently. I was reading about this recently.
Are we not allowed to talk about it? We could get sued.
No, well, we can say that there are American male masseurs alleging that John Travolta gave him a bit of a man grope.
And that is a real...
But personally, I kind of suspect it's bullshit and they're just money-grabbing man whores.
Not a masseuse. I don't know. I've actually, I don't want to say anything here. It sounds a bit kind of convenient to me.
What? Well, he's beginning to lose.
That there's been so many rumours about it, and it just seems like it's going to come out. If he don't come out, it's going to come out. That kind of situation.
I'm not really certain what you're actually saying.
You're saying he's gay and he's just not out yet, but there's so many rumours about it that he should probably just turn around.
It's like the Richard Gere, it's like the Richard Gere hamster story. You hear it so many times, it's got to be true.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
I do, but if
you hear one story once, then you think, okay, it's a rumour. When you hear it hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah, so when one masseur claims this and appears to be
French. One monsieur.
Masseur. Yeah, okay. One masseur comes out and claims it, and then another one comes out and goes, oh wow, he's about to get a fucking massive payout, I'll have some of that.
He did it to me as well.
Yeah, he did it to me as well, actually.
Did he really?
Yeah, I was massaging him, and he sucked me knob, and I want money.
Sucked me knob.
Yeah.
Okay, should we go for another clip?
Yes.
This is the one of my favourite clips, because it's got Christopher Walker in it. And this is the one where he's talking to a young Bruce Willis about a certain watch.
Okay, listen closely, because I want an impression after.
Great-grandfather gave this watch to granddad for good luck. Unfortunately, Dane's luck wasn't as good as his old man's. Dane was a Marine, and he was killed, along with all the other Marines at the Battle of Wake Island. Granddad was facing death. He knew it. None of those boys had any illusions but ever leaving that island alive. So 3 days before the Japanese took the island, your granddad asked a gunner on an Air Force transport named a Wanaki. Many of them met before in his life. To deliver to his infant son, we'd never seen in the flesh, his gold watch. 3 days later, your granddad was dead, but Wanaki kept his word. After the war was over, he paid a visit to your grandmother, delivering to your infant father his dad's gold watch. This watch. This watch was on your daddy's wrist when he was shot down over Hanoi. He was captured, put in a Vietnamese prison camp. He knew that if the gooks ever saw the watch, it would be confiscated, taken away. The way your dad looked at it, this watch was your birthright. He'd be damned if any slope's going to put the greasy yellow hands on his boy's birthright, so he hid it. In one place he knew he could hide something, his ass. 5 long years he wore this watch, up his ass. Then he died of dysentery. Give me the watch. I hid this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass 2 years. Then, after 7 years, I was sent home to my family. Little man, I give the watch to you.
So,
come on then.
Have I really got to do the impression?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's watch. Took some guy's ass. And I'm sure. I can't do it. I've created my own character. Anyway, it's crazy. But no, that's a great little scene. It's a random scene. It doesn't really need to be in the film.
It's a flashback, and it's just to explain the relevance of the watch. It's, you know, it's purely a watch, but it's great.
Yeah, yeah. So again, going along with the cast, is Christopher Walken's in it.
Yeah,
yeah. And how many years did Christopher Walken have that watch up his ass?
7 years or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
It was crazy. And the kid still takes it. Yeah, give me that. I haven't watched it yet. Why is it all rusty? It's not rust.
I just never managed to get it clean. It's just a little bit that's stuck.
I've been keeping it there since. I just, it's you know, it's like when you leave your phone at home. It's just not, don't feel right without it just up there.
Okay, Uma Thurman's in this film. She plays a bit of Mia Wallace.
Yeah.
Mrs. Mia Wallace.
Yeah.
Vitterbeg.
That was a good scene. That was a good impression. Who else is in the film? We're trying to get the Ving Rhames is it as Marcellus Wallace.
And who played the wolf?
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah.
That is a cool scene.
It is. He plays an awesomely cool character.
I always forget about the wolf because I always think about...
He's not a major character, no, to be fair.
Yeah, no. There's only a good couple.
No, but he's a cool character.
He's a cool character.
Yeah, comes in, sorts shit out.
It's a great line. He says to his daughter, I think, comes and picks him up. And he says, just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character. And I thought that was a great saying. That's a great saying. But Quentin Tarantino even stars in that, which he's not actually very good in it. He's the guy's house. They go.
He serves good coffee, which Samuel Jackson then goes on about. This is the. I had it a minute ago of exactly what the words that he used. This is the expensive shit or something.
Yeah.
And all that Harvey Keitel does when he comes in, he takes a sip of it and just turns around and just the look on the face, the slight raise of the coffee goes,
Yeah. It's a little random talking in the film, which kind of like doesn't make, it's not needed. But that's
it makes the film. It's that's the whole talking about in France they call a Big Mac Le Big Mac. Oh, what do they call a Whopper? I don't know. I didn't go in a Burger King. All that sort of shit.
The Royale cheese.
Yeah.
The quarter pounder.
In France, you can get a beer in McDonald's.
They put mayonnaise in that shit. They drown in that shit. It's true. We put mayonnaise in a lot of stuff.
Oh, chips with brown sauce and mayonnaise.
Brown sauce mayonnaise?
Oh, fuck yeah. I've never tried that. Don't knock it till you've tried it, though. Seriously.
Don't get angry. Crazy.
That needs to go on the list of things to do before you die.
You've actually got a list of stuff. That's actually quite impressive. You're learning something tonight.
I am. I've got a takeaway list.
I like the ketchup and mayonnaise because it's like a burger sauce. Or the pan like seafood sauce.
I prefer brown sauce to tomato sauce anyway, you see. But brown sauce and mayonnaise is good.
So this is like a chat that would be in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's a clip.
Surat may taste like pumpkin pie, I don't know, because I won't eat the filthy motherfucker.
But bacon tastes good.
Yeah.
Pork chops taste good.
Here's the clip that leads into them meeting up with the Wolfers, when with Marvin's in the car.
You ever seen that show Cops? I was watching it one time, and there was this cop on. He was talking about this gunfight he had in the hallway with this guy, right? And he just unloaded on this guy, and nothing happened. He didn't hit nothing. Okay, it was just him and this guy. I mean, you know, it's freaky, but it happens.
Look, you want to play blind man, go walk with the shepherd. But me, my eyes are wide fucking open.
What the fuck does that mean?
I mean, that's it for me. From here on in, you can consider my ass retired.
Jesus Christ.
Don't blaspheme.
God damn it,
I said don't do that.
Hey, you know, fuck, you're fucking freaking out on us.
Look, I'm telling Marcellus today. I'm through.
But why don't you tell him at the same time why?
Don't worry, I will.
Yeah, and I'll bet you $10,000 he'll last his ass off.
I don't give a damn if he does.
Marvin, what do you make of all this?
Man, I don't even have an opinion.
Well, you gotta have an opinion. I mean, do you think that God came down from heaven and stopped...
Oh, what the fuck's happening now? Oh, shit, man.
Oh, man, I shot Marvin in the face.
Why the fuck did you do that?
Well, I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident.
Oh, man, I see some crazy-ass shit in my time, but this...
Chill out, man. I told you it was an accident. You probably went over a bump or something.
Hey, the car ain't hit no motherfucking bump.
Hey, look, man, I didn't mean to shoot the son of a bitch. The gun went off. I don't know why.
Well, look at this fucking mess, man. We're on a city street in broad daylight here.
Believe it, man.
Well, believe it now, motherfucker. We got to get this car off the road. You know, cops tend to know this shit like you're driving a car against this fucking blood.
Just take it to a friendly place, that's all.
This is the Valley, Vincent. Marcellus ain't got no friendly places in the Valley.
But you'll see my fucking town, man.
Shit.
What you doing?
I'm calling my partner at Toluca Lake.
Where's Toluca Lake?
It's just over the hill here, over by Burbank Studios. If Jimmy's ass ain't home, I don't know what the fuck we gonna do, man, because I ain't got no other partners in 818. Jimmy, yo, how you doing, man? It's Jules. Just listen up, man. Me and my homeboy in some serious fucking shit, man. We're in a car. We gotta get off the road pronto. I need to use your garage for a couple hours.
Shut Marvin in the face. That sounded a bit like Walker. Shut Marvin in the face. That's a little bit of Christian Walker.
I had him on my ass for 7 years.
By Marvin's face.
I had Marvin on my ass. 7 years.
I need more cowbell.
Get a little bit better.
Yeah, it's getting closer. I reckon give
one
it another
day.
Give it
one
another
of these days.
12, 15 years of good, hard, solid practice and you may get there.
Okie dokie. The Pulp Fiction.
Brilliant film. Yes. Absolutely, go back and watch it.
There's so many scenes I could have played out. I've played a whole fucking movie.
Yeah, just one big sound bite.
I might just put out a podcast of just the whole.
Just reorder it slightly to get around the copyright. Play it backwards. Yeah, it might have some subliminal messages.
Each part are played in different order, just so they say. That's not Pulp Fiction.
You could do a remix. Oh, I mean, you probably have quite good fun just splicing different sentences together out of the different contexts.
Mm. It'll take a lot of time, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, that's why we stopped doing Ask an American.
That's very true.
Because the last episode is now out, isn't it?
Last episode's out, it's done, it's gone.
He's no out. More.
But Pod Goddammit will be out very, very soon.
Yes, keep your eyes peeled.
Okay, so we come to the end of the podcast. We've got a special treat before we go. We're going to sign off in a minute. We're going to say our goodbyes. And we've got a band called Machine Gun Men, local band from Essex.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play one of their songs out. And they've even recorded a little chat for us about their favourite movies of all time. It's very funny. They got a lot of shit about Arnold Schwarzenegger and random stuff about movies which you will want to go and watch after they start talking about them. They are very funny guys. They should have their own podcast, I told you. Because I only asked them to record like a tiny little snippet and they recorded 20 minutes, but I've cut it down.
Hi, we're Machine Gun Man. Our favourite film is this. Now listen to our music.
5 minutes, just chat. But I had to now edit this down. Manageable size. And he knew that because he sent it, goes, yeah, we were going to chat for a little bit, but here's 20 minutes of us chatting. So, edit out you will. We're going to play out one of their songs, and so you can go and see them. Find them on Facebook, Machine Gun Men. I think they're on Twitter as well, at Machine Gun Men.
Cool.
They're a good band, they're very funny, and they're very very good, entertaining.
Entertaining seems very, like a perfectly valid.
Very entertaining.
They are entertainers.
I keep saying very good, but very good sounds a bit like they're very good.
You can say they fucking rock.
They're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
There you go. They're fucking.
Are they a rock band? If they're a rock band, then they could rock. If they're not a rock band, then it might insult them by you saying they rock.
But if they are a rock band and they don't rock.
They are a rock band. You saw them at the Panic Awards.
Yeah.
They were the last band to play.
They were the last band to play. That explains why I don't quite remember.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to be playing out at the end of the show, so you hear them and then you can hear their song. But so this has been the Oddcast Podcast episode 43 sober.
Indeed.
Yes.
Have you had fun?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so if you want to listen to more podcasts, you can go to oddpoduk.wordpress.com. you can go to the Tumblr, which is the blog that nobody's reading, .tumblr.com. follow me on Twitter at Barker Podcast, at Oddcast Podcast. Follow the Pod Gods and go to podgodsnetwork.com for us and all the other Pod Gods. Pod gods. Damn it. Oh, getting everyone excited and juiced up. And soon we're going to have some YouTube videos up.
Ooh.
In the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we're getting everywhere. We're putting it out there. We're putting it right out there. But Oddcast Podcast, episode 43. I have been Adam. You have been
Ash.
You have been
Will.
Sign us out, Will.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyrannies of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother, for they will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
You fucking geek.
Bang, bang.
'Listeners of Oddcast, as I believe it's called. Could be wrong. We are Machine Gun Men, the finest purveyors of filth-ridden, shock and awe, rock and roll pastries. Adam's asked us to talk about movies. Go!
I like films.
What's your favourite film?
It's a tie-up between Last Boy Scout and...
It's a fucking incredible film, man. The
bait started already.
That guy is in that crappy, like, Happy Endings comedy show.
What?
He went from, like, being in a movie with Bruce Willis to, like...
How the Mighty Have Fallen,
yeah,
right?
That's a good film.
You've worked with Bruce Willis straight away afterwards, and the next thing you do is not going to be as good.
Don't know.
Bruce Willis is incredible.
Don't know.
You don't know. This conversation thing's really lost on you.
Yeah, The Last Boy Scout's pretty good.
Yeah, man. It's a Walkie Wicked film. What about, let's cut to the chase here, best sex scene in the film? Rob?
Oh, God. So, too many to mention. My brain's going to explode. The sex scene between the priest and the alien in the original version of Donkey Punch, which only five people have ever seen.
Filmed in your garden.
Remember,
have you seen the film Roadhouse? There's a sex scene in that just for the pout that she does. I've never seen a more protruding pout than that. It's, just, it's so funny.
Well, she does it while she's having sex.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's really funny.
I like the talk afterwards on the rug. On the
Then, like, in the next scene, he's ripping some guy's Adam's apple. How do you get off? Do you smoke after sex? No, I rip people's fucking throats out.
End of day, that's pretty weird out. Species fucks me up.
Species.
Not the best sex scene. Like,
Natasha Henstridge. Amazing breasts.
That and Cabin Fever. Like, just sex gone wrong is, like, the worst thing I could ever imagine. Like, imagine, like, having sex with a chick and then you, like, grab a leg and the skin comes off.
Yeah, imagine.
Or, like, United Species, like, I think it's Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah, he's in.
And he's in the club, like, trying it on with Natasha Henstridge. And then, like, he's lucky because she doesn't go home with him, but, like, the thing she goes home with, she, like, kisses him, and her tongue goes through the back of his fucking head.
Yeah, because he was asthmatic. She had to find the perfect mate. She sees him like take the asthma inhaler and she's like, no, he's diabetic, he takes diabetes medicine.
Like the one out of Visitor Q where he kills the woman and then shags her and
what?
Goes into drinking waters. You've not seen Visitor Q?
No, what's that?
The
K-Pax.
No. I'm sure it's called Visitor Q. What's the fucked up Japanese director's name? The one who done it to Kira and all that. Yeah. Visitor Q. Swear it was called Visitor Q. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he kills this woman and then he shags it and she goes into rigor mortis on his member, shall we say. And he's like, yeah. Have you not seen it? Check it out, Visitor Q.
Visitor Q.
I'm not sure how much more I can
describe
it.
Save the Green Planet, no.
Huh?
Save the Green Planet is on that one.
No, it's Visitor Q.
Speed 2 cruise control? It's not that one.
Actually. Check it out. Visit a Q. I swear I haven't dreamt it.
Favourite Arnie movie? Probably Conan the Adventurer.
Conan the Adventurer. Cartoon.
Yeah. He was in it. He was just smaller.
I'm looking forward to the new twins. That is
triplets. Eddie Murphy. How are they going to explain that one?
That's about as far as I can go with that comment.
Yeah.
That's it.
Favourite Arnold movie, Rob?
Because
you're a big fan of...
I think Terminator 2 is the best film ever made. So, it's basically a remake of the first one, but better.
Kindergarten Cop's pretty good.
I don't know.
Disagree and say the best Arnie film and the best Terminator film is Salvation. Amazing.
Which one's that, the one with the chick? Was that the third?
That's the third one.
I've not seen that one.
For Salvation's the one which hasn't actually got Arnie in it. It's got a CGI Arnie, but that was just.
Is that like because in Gladiator, like when that dude died, they like CGI'd him? Like, Arnie's alive still, isn't he?
He's still alive. He's got a pig heart. Still
I think they should with Salvation. Like, I shouldn't have gone. Or well, maybe they could have gone to the future, but like Arnie could have been in it as like an old scientist.
I thought that's what they originally... That would have happened if he hadn't gone into office, I think. He would have been in it if he hadn't gone into office.
And then it would have been like... Because everyone's like, oh, why is the Terminator look like Arnie? And they would have just explained it because he's the scientist that built the T-800.
Mm.
And then it could just be this old scientist that John Connor has to get out of the sky.
Yeah.
Skynet facility. That would have been so much better.
If you could remake a movie, what would you do? That's what you do.
You could remake any film. I have to remake a sequel to a movie.
And Arnie's got to be the main
Christ.
I would remake a sequel to Falling Down. And
There was no sequel.
Well, I will make a sequel, for fuck's sake. Like, because his kids, and his kid could have grown up, and I would choose Ryan Reynolds.
You call it Getting
the
Up.
Beginning, he could be like, you know, he could do all his, like, quippy jokes that he's known for, and then he snaps, And rather this time, rather than it, he's snapping because he's a nutter that works for the defence or whatever, he's just pissed off with people. So he just goes on a rampage. Make it more brutal, more funny, and no twist at the end where he's like this CIA assassin guy. He's just an ordinary guy.
He wasn't a CIA assassin.
He wasn't a CIA assassin, but he wasn't just an ordinary bloke, was he? No. He had access to guns and he worked for the defence, whatever.
But you knew at the beginning.
Yeah, oh, fuck's sake. Don't listen, do you?
I was listening.
You weren't listening. Yeah, okay. I would make him an ordinary guy. So that's the thing with Fall Your Dad. Advertise it as ordinary guy gone mad, but he's not ordinary guy, is he?
He's a missile.
He knows how to use a gun. He wears like this.
Ties and short sleeve shirts.
Ryan Reynolds wouldn't have access to a gun. Just grab whatever he finds on the street and make it a cross between Falling Down and Grand Theft Auto.
A manga girl being attacked by a tentacle monster.
Go for it.
It's the art now.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
It was incredible. It was incredible.
Do Fraz watching that.
Oh, God. Fucking
Well. On that bombshell, unless there's any other impressions, finally.
Not really.
Let me down, Rob. Can't believe it.
I can't do your impressions.
Anyone should be able to do the Arnie impressions. I would have thought you'd be...
Next time.
I would have thought we'd be struggling to stop you. Ain't going to be a next time after this. I'm sure he's going to cut it down to like a minute's worth. With a machine gun man, one Arnold impression, Fraz doing the manga, and then that's it. Yeah. Please don't. So I think this is all good stuff.
Yeah, it's gold.
So... yeah, Adam's going to play you a Machine Gun Men song, not sure which, because I'm going to send him 5 or 6 and he can choose. Booyah!
My mama always said, you better use your head. If you ever give a girl your heart, she'll break, yeah. My mama said to me, girls ain't nothing but trouble, sex, drugs and cigarettes. Now I'm hiding. Because here comes the go. Your heart's still breaking. My mama said to me, girls ain't nothing but trouble. Sex, drugs, and cigarettes. Now my heart is beating up. My mama always said, you better use your head.
Listening to Joey Fielder's podcast on the Podgods Network.
Hello and welcome to a preview of the Joey Fielder's podcast on the Podgods Network. My name's Mike.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Lou.
And we're here to tell you about our podcast, and we're going to do it in a slightly different fashion to the other ads you may have perhaps heard on the network. And we're going to play a game in this preview, guys. We each have to discuss
talk
the podcast.
Okay.
And what listeners can expect to hear. Without repeating what the previous player may have said.
Are you
going
to start us off?
The Jelly Pills podcast is...
A...
podcast...
that...
is...
strange...
because...
we...
are...
all...
very...
British...
that...
is...
our...
cross to bear...
but...
not your...
problem?
I stole a word. Keep going, Lou.
However...
sorry.
We
enjoy
murder.
However,
not
much more
than
you.
We
do
pay
adequately
for
murdering.
Podcast
is
are
grammatically
incorrect
error.
So
when
we
record
a
podcast,
you
find
us
talking
a lot
shit.
Please
help
Chris
by
some
means
that any
one
can
help
the
abomination
befalling
our
planet.
In summary,
I
apologize
once
for
murdering
your
family.
Please accept
my
sincerest
children.
Open brackets. Ferrets. Close brackets.
Thank you for listening to the Oddcast Podcast UK. To find other shows like this, please visit podgodsnetwork.com. You won't be disappointed.